Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, peeps, and welcome to Woke AF Daily with me, your girl, Danielle Moody, recording from the home bunker, which, folks, I'm actually going to just actively start turning this into a real bunker instead of just an apartment that I never leave, because with New York on Friday having a motherfucking earthquake out of nowhere, let me just tell you about the weather in New York last week. We had an earthquake on Friday. 2 days before that, there were 60 mile per hour winds that were rocking the buildings, and on top of like fucking monsoon torrential downpour. Then somebody was posting up on social talking about, okay, so last year this time we couldn't go outside because the sky turned yellow and orange, right? Because of the wildfires. I'm just like, yo, it is hazardous being outdoors. So I recommend y'all just stay where you are. Nonetheless, where are we in the world? You know, Donald Trump is still a criminal. His followers are in a cult. I don't really care about these court cases that I keep telling you about, even though I have to cover them because y'all should be up to date. But like, do I give a damn? Not really. But I do want to talk about the moves that happened at the end of last week as it pertained to Israel and Gaza. So I reported that Biden had a phone conversation with Netanyahu. And following that conversation, where he had said that he would begin to have conditional, I guess, send conditional bombs to Israel if he did not begin to open up humanitarian corridors and let aid in, right? And then all of a sudden, magnificently, guess what started fucking happening? Oh, humanitarian corridors started opening. Food and medicine started to be able to get in. So explain to me why Biden waited until over 30,000 Palestinians are dead, over almost 200, including the seven World Central Kitchen workers that were killed. Over 200 humanitarian workers have been killed. Not to mention the amount of journalists that have been killed and journalist family members that have been killed and doctors and nurses that have been killed. For Biden to start saying, you know what? You don't get a fucking blank check anymore. That you are not going to invade Rafah. You're going to open up humanitarian corridors. And as a matter of fact, you're going to issue a cease fucking fire. Now, we're done with this shit. So I honestly, you know, that horrific act of violence, because it's not a mistake, right? There's nothing that Netanyahu and the IDF are doing that are mistakes. You don't make 200 mistakes that kill humanitarian aid workers. You don't make 35,000 or so on mistakes that kill babies in NICUs. These are not mistakes. And to call them such is a smack in the face to the loved ones that are still living. You say that, oh, we need to get the hostages out. There'll be no hostages left at the rate that this motherfucker is moving. So, you know, I don't know, folks, whether or not what transpired last week will be a tipping point. It is a question that I continue to ask. Will it be the tipping point, the breaking point? What will it take for this situation to end? I don't know. But I do know that as of the time of this recording, aid is getting in to, you know, the millions of people that are on the brink of famine. Because again, just FYI, Israel is committing war crimes because weaponizing food and medicine are war crimes. Period. Coming up next, dear friends, my conversation with my friend Danielle Campamore. We talk about the situation around reproductive freedom, abortion, bodily autonomy, and where we think this issue is going to land as we get closer and closer to November. Folks, I am always thrilled when I have the opportunity to welcome Danielle Campamore, journalist, activist, repro rights guru on all of the things, back to Woke AF Daily. Danielle, you know, since we last spoke, my God, the assault on reproductive freedom, on people with uteruses, on women just has been unrelenting. So much so that I'm finding myself just physically exhausted with trying to keep up with everything that is happening. Give me a picture of one, A, how you are doing, and two, how you are feeling about this just onslaught of horrific legislation targeted at women and people with uteruses.
Right. Well, I mean, how I'm doing and feeling, it changes and varies between anger, fear, a lot more anger, frustration, and then there is a little bit of hope. The hope, unfortunately, is not coming from those in positions of power, but really from grassroots organizers and people on the ground who have been fighting the good fight for decades, and certainly since the end of Roe v. Wade. And so, look, I mean, today, Supreme Court heard oral arguments for the Mifepristone case, which if they decide to go in favor with the Texas court, could curtail access to medication abortion nationwide. It won't matter which state you live in, whether it's New York or Texas. That is scary. It's frightening. It's disheartening that as these attacks continue and there's discussions about a nationwide abortion ban, in addition to attacks on medication abortion, which amount to over 60% of abortions in this country, the current president and Democratic nominee, Joe Biden, can't bring himself to say the word abortion out loud and hasn't been able to since he's been running for office or been in office. And so to have these attacks happening shamelessly, you know, they say the quiet parts out loud all the time. Now they're coming after birth control. They're coming after IVF. To have those in power who are saying, look, we care, we're pro-choice, we care about pregnant people, we care about women, give these lackadaisical statements is disheartening. But there's people on the ground who are doing the work. And so that's kind of where my focus is. Even today for Marie Claire, I was reporting on what was happening outside of SCOTUS during the arguments. And you had people who were dispensing mifepristone via robots, as they called them, R-O-E-B-O-T-S, but robots that were being, they had people in blue states who were protected from anti-abortion laws managing these robots to hand out medication as, you know, a sign that, look, it doesn't matter what a Supreme Court says. It doesn't matter what law is passed. We will be here and abortion will continue in this country and we will be here to help people access that care. So that's the hope that I have when it comes to those in power, though. That hope dwindles significantly to damn near zero.
You know, there are a couple of things because I have been on the fence, Danielle, about the need for Joe Biden to say the word abortion. And I've been on the fence about it because I'm just like, for me, and I want to dig into it because words and narrative matter. And you're a writer, you're a storyteller. And so for me, it was like for him, you know, State of the Union, talk about, you know, taking away women's bodily autonomy, to talk about reproductive care. On the campaign trail, Vice President Harris says abortion, says uterus, says these things that are medically appropriate and yet so shocking. So tell me about the importance of the name and naming a thing to you, but also to the movement right now.
Well, because it erases the stigma. And the reason why we're here right now is because in this country, we have allowed, and by we, I mean those in positions of power, those as members of the media, unfortunately, for that stigma to run so rampant for Republicans and anti-abortion advocates who have no knowledge of pregnancy or reproductive outcomes whatsoever, to control the narrative of abortion care, to control the narrative of what it means to have an abortion, how it feels to have an abortion. And they're patently false. They're outright lies. But we haven't been forceful enough in speaking truth to power and to holding those in power, you know, to make them speak that truth as well. And so I think saying the word abortion, discussing abortion accurately, honestly, is vital. It's absolutely vital. We had an hours of the Supreme Court listening to an argument that is based off of a complete medical fallacy, of total misinformation. Medication abortion is safer than Viagra, penicillin, Tylenol. And yet we are having justices debate over whether or not it's causing harm. I mean, it's just outrageous. And there are so many things that has brought us to this point. One of them being our inability or just people deciding not to discuss abortion, honestly, say the word out loud and be candid about what it means to have an abortion in this country. And, you know, we've talked about this so much. And like you said, representation being accurate in word is important. One way is that they could do that, and we did see him do that at the State of the Union, is to center the people who have abortions. That's Black and brown women. We should be putting them on television. We should be handing them the microphone. And we should be listening to them and following their lead as to what we can do to save not only abortion access in this country, but democracy in this country. Because without bodily autonomy, democracy just straight up does not exist. And mm-hmm. So those things are completely interconnected. And that is something that Biden can do. He talks a lot about our need to save the democracy of this country, that this is what the upcoming election is about. And I agree. But in order to save democracy, that's not just keeping Trump and a bunch of fascists out of the White House. It's also about making sure that everybody has complete and full control over their body and the decisions that they make regarding their reproductive health and the outcomes of their pregnancies. Those things are inexplicably linked. You cannot separate one from the other. And yet this president and does at times. And so that's just, again, another way in which when you hand the microphone over to those who've done this work, the Black and brown, Indigenous, LGBTQ plus people who are on the ground every day, we would have more accurate representations. We would have this more forceful pushback against these erroneous, outrageous attacks on abortion care.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you talk about handing over the mic and listening to those that are on the ground leading, listening to Black and brown people, Black and brown women and people with uteruses, it feels like a constant refrain that just is never listened to, right? Like by, you know, like it just, it's a constant refrain. We know who came out and saved democracy and saved Joe Biden's candidacy in 2020. And yet now with an assault literally everywhere and on everything, we still, and by we, I don't, not us, but like the mainstream media and the Democratic Party, I think the establishment still doesn't listen, right? And so I wonder, Danielle, like we are just 7 months away from the November 2024 presidential election. What we've seen is that every time that abortion has been on the ballot in states, it has won, right? That the people have come out. This election, there is just, I mean, I can't list all of the ways and all of the things that are riding on this election, abortion being one, you know, of the many. Is it enough in your mind, do you think, to rouse a very seemingly apathetic and at times fairly hopeless electorate?
I guess it kind of depends on which day you ask me that question.
Right. That's fair.
I'm trying to find the light. I'm trying to find the light here too. You know, there's some days where I'm like, I don't know. There's other days where I'm like, you know what? Yes, I think so. And unfortunately, we have seen in this country white women who voted for Trump in 2016 and who are now living in states where they don't have access to abortion care. And they're realizing that this does impact me and my daughter and my wife and my sister. And that it isn't just about ending an unwanted pregnancy. It's also about managing miscarriages. It's about managing high-risk pregnancies. And now all of a sudden, they are involved. They are working tirelessly to try and get these ballots passed. I wish that they would abandon their party altogether, this notion that somehow the Republican, you can do this work within the Republican Party when the Republican Party has become the party of Trump, is laughable to me at best. But I am seeing that shift. And unfortunately, as I said, a lot of people only care when they realize that this will impact me, that prior to so many of these states ending access to abortion care, it was those that were living in poverty, Black, Brown, and Indigenous people who were most harmed by anti-abortion laws. Well, now that is expanding to include women in suburbs and mm-hmm. white women who go to PTA meetings and XYZ. So I think that it is possible, but again, it's about the messaging. And unfortunately, the Democratic Party fails to be as forceful as I know it can be and it should be. Like you said, there's so much riding on this upcoming presidential election. Everything from economy to your mental health to democracy, ability to vote, ability to work, ability to maintain your home. All those things are all also connected to abortion. So if this president wants to speak to people who are worried about their economics, talk about what happens to someone if they're denied abortion care. They're more likely to live in poverty. They're more likely to not be able to afford food for their children. Mm-hmm. If you care about child education, let's talk about how if a parent is denied abortion care, the children they already have are more likely to experience developmental delays than those who are children of parents who were able to end pregnancies that they weren't ready to carry to term. All these things, you can talk about those things, and abortion could be even more galvanizing than it already is. Unfortunately, this current president doesn't do that as often as he could, and I think he can if they give the mic to those who know these experiences, who've lived them, who've done the work, who help people day in and day out access the care that they need, even in a post-Roe world where you risk possible hospitalization if you're not able to obtain the care you need when you need it, or legal action. And so I do believe that it could work. And I really, really need to hope that it is enough. I think it just depends on how forceful this Democratic Party is truly willing to fight for democracy, for bodily autonomy, and for their electorate, for the people who saved this country in 2020.
Do you think that people have a really clear picture? I was having a conversation last night on another podcast, and I was asked this question of, do you think that people really understand, the average person understands what is at risk in this election? And I will tell you that every time that I see quote unquote average people get interviewed on cable news, I'm like, oh, we're fucked, right? Like it's just like the conversation is so devoid of facts and logic and reality that I'm just like, okay. But do you think that the average person does get it, right? Like does understand, if they know nothing else about, you know, about how politics works, that they understand what's at risk, especially with the moves that Alabama has made with IVF and, you know, embryonic individuals and like all of this shit that people are just like, wait a minute, this is crazy, right? I know somebody that used IVF to get pregnant. I got used IVF to get pregnant. Like, do you think folks get it?
I think more and more people are, and I think what we've seen in a post-Roe world is how powerful other people's stories are. And I think that's what's really making people get it. It's not necessarily statistics or, unfortunately, even just the obvious nature of Trump and his allies, that you can point to the things he says, points to his rallies, and people still seem to want to have this intellectual disconnect and to live in this alternate reality in which he doesn't pose the threat that he tells them he is going to, like the things that he's going to do. But what I have seen as a reporter on the ground and speaking to people is people are so moved by stories because they see themselves in others. And again, unfortunately, I think we're kind of in this current political climate where for me, not for thee, if it upsets me or if it impacts me now, all of a sudden I care. But if it was before that, well, then, you know, I guess that's someone else's problem or it might not be as dire as they're saying. And so I think that more and more people are getting it. And I think as long as we elevate those stories and we keep, again, passing that mic, then more people will come to understand just really what is at stake. I know very few people on either side of the aisle who can listen to a story about someone being told to wait in a hospital parking lot until they're closer to death to receive care, who isn't moved by that, who isn't saying, hold up, wait a minute, what's happening and why is this happening? I don't know very many people who can listen to someone who has their embryos sitting somewhere and now they can't access them because they're apparently no longer theirs. Like, it's just, that's mind-blowing, and people are being moved by that. I do think, though, that, again, because we've contained, in the media specifically, kind of safeguarded who gets to talk about these issues, who comes on air to talk about abortion, for example, people do get kind of burnt out. I think if we had more abortion providers, more people who've had abortions, more abortion care workers who were really centered, more people would understand.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like there's no end to what they're going after. And I think that that, too, has become really terrifying, is that, you know, oh, it was Roe, but I live in a blue state, so I'm fine. Oh, now it's IVF. Oh, now it's mifepristone. Oh, now it's going to be birth control, all forms of birth control. Now it's going to be, you know, until women and people with uteruses literally have no control over their futures, over their lives, over their economic well-being, like, then they'll be done, right? And I think that that they'll be done is coming sooner than people honestly want to imagine. And so I just want to ask you, you know, final question for you, which is, if the Supreme Court does now overturn a 23-year FDA-approved access to a medication, one, to me, everything, every medication, everything, and is up, and the FDA now no longer has any teeth or power. which is should be terrifying again for anyone. If that happens, what's the picture that you see in America leading up to, like, what's the image? What's the landscape?
Well, I think, you know, to your point, they will never be done. And I think we need to make it perfectly clear that these attacks existed long before Roe v. Wade was overturned. They've always gone after IVF. They've always gone after birth control, IUDs, emergency contraception. That has been the goal from the beginning. And these attacks aren't anything new. But I know they won't be done. They'll keep going because, and this is what gives me hope, those who believe in bodily autonomy and true freedom in this country aren't going to be done either. And again, in speaking to people outside of the Supreme Court today, just it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court does. It doesn't matter. There will always be people who will provide abortion care outside the confines of the law. And thankfully, medication abortion is so safe that people will be able to end their pregnancies at home and they won't be put in harm's way as a result physically. Of course, there will be the fear of legal reciprocity, and that is terrifying. And everyone needs to be aware of that, this won't end with access to abortion care, access to medication, abortion, access to birth control. There is a specific way in which the Republican Party seems to want women and people with the capacity to get pregnant to live their lives barefoot in the kitchen without the ability to have financial freedom or freedom over their own bodies, the freedom to work outside the home, the freedom to divorce someone if they want. And so I think that that needs to be at the forefront of people's minds. And you know, we've been talking about this, and you've spent your career talking about and raising the alarm. And oftentimes we're told that we're being hyperbolic, that just hold on. We're being a little crazy here. This isn't really going to happen. Okay, so Trump wins in 2016. He won't really overturn Roe v. Wade. Never going to happen. And then it does. Right. So when people are giving these warnings, this isn't because they're being ridiculous or emotional, or this is born out of fact. This is listening to what the Republican Party is saying and has been saying. And I wish that more of these warnings were coming from men and men in position of power who aren't going to receive the same sexist response as the women often do when they raise the alarm and are the canary in the coal mines of these threats against democracy and personal freedom and bodily autonomy, which again just circles back to the president can do more than the lackluster support that he has for the ability to access abortion care if you want. You know, even comments about, well, I don't personally believe in it because I'm Catholic, but I don't think that, well, okay, Catholics get abortions too. So again, it's just he has the ability to do more. Men in position of power have ability to do more. The Democratic Party as a whole has the ability to do more. And if they raise the alarm at the same frequency as those on the ground, as women, as people who have been getting abortions and providing abortions have been raising the alarm for decades, I guarantee you we wouldn't be here. And we certainly would be in a better position to fight these ongoing attacks that, to your point, will not end. The Republican Party will not stop at XYZ type thing. There is no finish line for them.
Oh, Danielle, my friend, we will leave it here today and check back in with you in a couple of weeks when we know the result of this of this case and how it's going to affect all 50 states, red and blue. Really appreciate you.
Appreciate you, my friend. Yep, let's we'll walk through this dark period together.
That is it for me today, dear friends, on Woke AF, as always. Power to the people, and to all the people power. Get woke and stay woke as fuck.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.